Some of you, as you're following along in the scripture reading, you've just got to work through the Christmas story, and some of you are thinking, you just spoke on that this morning. That's the same scripture reading as this morning. Well, if you didn't catch on, I was telling you this morning how you shouldn't get tired of the story, so I'm going to preach the same thing all over again. I'm just kidding. So I wanted us to have the opportunity to reflect on it once again as we get ready, and I'm going to, as I have up there, look at Titus 2 as a little bit of a framework looking back on that Christmas story. And so if you want to turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 2, and I'll go ahead and pray while you're turning there. Father, we thank you. Lord, what a gift. Father, we recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Father, we thank you that you are a good gift giver. Lord, we look upon you. You are holy. You are awesome. You are all powerful. God, you are creator of all. And Father, we are the product of your creation. We are created by you, and we enjoy the world around us, which you have created. And Lord, we rejoice as we see your glory evident in it all. And Father, you're just beginning to show us and give us a taste of who you are. And Lord, you want us to know you more. And in order to do so, you sent your Son, Jesus, to show us so much more of yourself. Lord, he is the radiance of your glory. He is your Son, and he is our Savior. And we have him as a mediator. He has reconciled us to you, and he is the means by which we are able to come to you, Father. And we thank you so much for those amazing truths tonight. Lord, we are entirely unworthy, undeserving. And Lord, we thank you that you didn't give up on us. That even though we are hopeless sinners, Lord, rebellious against your truth, against all you are, selfish, Lord, that you sought us, you pursued us with the greatest cost, the cost of your Son, Jesus, knowing that it was the only way. And Father, that's good news of great joy, and it's offered for all people. We thank you for that, Lord. Father, this Christmas, help us to meditate on these truths, to examine ourselves, to recognize our deepest need for you, whether religious or not, whether we've trusted that message before or not, Lord, we're all in desperate need of you at all times. And Lord, you didn't send Jesus down just for us to say yes, but Lord, you sent him down to change us forever, to give us ultimate hope. We thank you for that. Help us to meditate on that hope today. Help us to draw near to you in hope as a response to your word and the Christmas message. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we talk about hope, hope is a great desire for us all. We might not recognize that that's a central part of what we're seeking until we have hope shattered. A lot of times that comes from built-up expectations. It's easy to do that, to anticipate something and to think, if I just had that, or things are going to be great when. For a lot of people, that could be the new job, the better salary. Once that comes, then I'll be okay. For many, marriage is a fairy tale. I'm going to get married, and as the story goes, they lived happily ever after, the end. But we get built up in some sort of expectation that oftentimes are false, oftentimes aren't what we need anyways. There's good things out there to be seeking, but they aren't the end, and they aren't the means of hope in our lives. So when we start building up expectations, we're preparing ourselves for disappointment. as we think about the Christmas story and many years of anticipating the Messiah, the coming deliverer. They built up expectations, especially in that time period, and when they started to see Jesus, hey, he's the one, and he's going to take care of everything, and once he delivers us out of the bondage from Rome, everything will be just fine. And those hopes were shattered, especially when Jesus died on the cross. In fact, we remember the words, we had hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel. We too, even as we look forward to another Christmas, Christmas is coming tomorrow, and Christmas is the blessed time to share with family, friends, to be with our church family, and to enjoy special truths that impact our life. And yet, we can build up to that moment when we get together with family and everything will be just great, and sometimes it isn't. Or maybe it was, and then the next day comes. And so I asked the question, now what? Children look forward to eagerly getting to rip open the wrapping paper off the presents, anticipating what it is they might receive and how much better life's going to be after they get their Christmas gifts. And then tomorrow comes. The question is, now what? As we look forward to Christmas, when Christmas is over, now what? I'm going to quickly read a poem. It might be familiar, I'm not sure. Just thinking about the after Christmas and, oh, it's over. 'Twas the day after Christmas, and all through the house, every creature was hurting, even the mouse. The toys were all broken, their batteries dead. Santa passed out with some ice on his head. Wrapping and ribbons just covered the floor, while upstairs the family continued to snore. And I in my T-shirt, new Reeboks and jeans, went into the kitchen and started to clean. When out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the sink to see what was the matter. Away to the window, I flew like a flash, tore open the curtains and threw up the sash. When what my wondering eyes should appear but a little white truck with an oversized mirror. The driver was smiling so lively and grand. The patch on his jacket said, U.S. Postman. With a handful of bills, he grinned like a fox, then quickly stuffed them into our mailbox. Bill after bill after bill, they still came. Whistling and shouting, he called them by name. Now Dillard's, now Broadway's, now Penny's and Sears. Here's Levitt's and Target's and Mervyn's, all here. To the tip or your limit, every store, every mall. Now charge away, charge away, charge away all. He whooped and he whistled as he finished his work. He filled up the box and then turned with a jerk. He sprang to his truck and he drove down the road, driving much faster with just half a load. Then I heard him exclaim with great holiday cheer, enjoy what you got, you'll be paying all year. Christmas is over. Now what? And sometimes we build up that anticipation. I actually saw a few different variations of this type of poem. One was about the diet that was going to be the New Year's resolution after eating everything. And another one was a variation of overpaying and just amusing. But we think through how we build up our expectations toward different things and even toward Christmas. And we learn, and we've had the opportunity even to look into Scripture and meditate on some amazing truths about Jesus this month. And then we head into the new year with perhaps guilt over the busy season, perhaps guilt over food eaten, money spent, or family conflict, whatever may have arose this month. How do these truths of Christmas pertain as we move forward? As we celebrate the Savior, Jesus came. Now what? Because as I think about it, perhaps you might be sitting there saying, I've received Jesus, I've trusted him as my Savior. I still feel like my life is in shambles. Everything's the same. What's different? How do I know? And there might be questions, or maybe I've observed Christians who say things that, and then their lives are struggles. How do I know? Where does this truth come in? As I read from Titus 2:11 through 14, it says this, for the grace of God has appeared. And we stop right there. We see the manifestation of God's grace in the person of Jesus. Jesus coming to earth was the grace of God manifested before us, appearing and offered in a unique and new way. The grace of God has appeared. And we see actually later in Titus 3, it says again in verse 4, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. The manifestation of God's goodness was demonstrated and shown to us in the person of Jesus. They'd been anticipating, they'd been viewing the goodness and grace and love of God in their covenant relationship with Him through years, even as they kept the law to know God through it. But that was a shadow of greater things coming. It was all to point to Jesus. And it wasn't quite what they expected, but it was better than they realized. Better than what they could have anticipated. But they couldn't be longing for something else. Their longing needed to be placed into the hope that only Jesus could bring. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. It's offered freely to anyone. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, the salvation is freely offered to anyone who will believe. I don't have to do good enough to earn it. I don't have to make up for the bad done. No, I'm going to keep jumping down to Titus 3, and we get a parallel there, talking about, again, the appearing of the goodness and loving kindness of God. Verse 5 of Titus 3 goes on, He saved us. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It didn't matter how much good I did to try to make up. It didn't matter how much bad, how many sins I've accumulated. I'm not to continue on in that. In fact, our passage goes on in Titus 2. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, and the result, it's to change us. Verse 12 says, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Training us to renounce, that is training us. Say no to those sinful desires and say yes to right living. Say yes to what really matters. Why? Because God just wants to tell us what to do. God, in His ultimate authority, also seeks our good. He knows what's best for us. And like a loving father, as we seek to do for our children, and sometimes we do it in error, but God most perfectly knows what's best for us and urges us. I know what you're thinking. Don't do it. Don't do it. We say, like Adam and Eve, God, You're withholding good for us, from us. Why are You withholding good? And God says, don't do it. And we give in to that temptation. Has God not said that the deceiver deceives? But God knows what's best. And God loves us and wants to, out of the salvation that He's offered, that grace continues past Christmas Day, past Easter, past Jesus is still in heaven interceding for us, and He is once for all, 2 Peter 3:18 says that's a once for all sacrifice that gives us salvation, but He is continuing the good work that He's begun in us so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus our Savior, so that we can experience the joy that only God gives. That's the exciting truth of Christmas. Christmas is the beginning of something new. And we're still awaiting the culmination. Titus 2:12 talks about saying no to the wrong and saying yes to what's right. And then Titus 2:13 goes on to say something amazing. Jesus came, and it was amazing, and it was subtle, and it was ordinary. He came in as a lowly baby. He lived as a carpenter's son. We see nothing of any sort of address for Jesus in the Bible where he went to live. He was a traveling preacher as well. And he's coming again, waiting for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking forward to, even now in the in-between where we've perhaps come to trust Jesus as our Savior. And if not, I urge you, God wants what's best for you, and he's offered it freely. God knows your sin. You don't need to cower in shame. God wants you to come before him into his light and recognize his grace is for me, his grace is for you, it's for each of us. But even now, for those of us who have trusted in Jesus as our Savior, that's a beginning. That's the good work he's begun in us, and we're awaiting that full realization as he completes that good work that he's begun in us. He will finish it until the day of Christ Jesus. That is, we wait the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tomorrow's Christmas. We're looking forward to celebrating together. We've enjoyed this day of worship. Some of you are with family already. That's exciting to spend time together. And soon it will be over. But the truth, the impact, will continue. See, as we saw this morning, Jesus is interested, God is interested, not in the elite. He's interested in ordinary people, and he's interested in carrying the authority in your ordinary lives, in the day-to-day, what you do each day. God promises that he's with you. He will not forsake us. He's with us to the end of the age, and he's doing something amazing in us. So when we get done with Christmas vacation and we're back to school or back to work and back into our ordinary lives, we are living the reality of the gospel still. God is not finished with us yet. We look forward to, as he says in Revelation 21:5, "Behold, I am making all things new." So this story never becomes old. God is working on us, and the story is as relevant as ever as we move forward past Christmas and into each day of our lives. God entered the world as a baby in the manger to die for our sins, to give us everlasting life and a hope eternal. And that hope is far beyond any expectation, anything that we can anticipate. It's much better. And that's something we can truly reflect on and look forward to and get excited about and enjoy each day as God is present with us in all that we do. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you weren't waiting for me to get right with you, to come to me. Lord, that you weren't waiting till I was good enough. Lord, you weren't even waiting till I decided I wanted you. You intervened in our life. You sent Jesus as our Savior. He came into the world. He lived a holy life all for us. And he died on the cross for us. Lord, we thank you for the truth. We thank you for the hope. And Father, we thank you that that hope is eternal, that you are with us in all that we do. Lord, your grace has appeared, and it's with us, and you've poured it out on us abundantly. That's your grace that's saved us from our sin. It's your grace that goes with us wherever we go, holds us up in the midst of all that we struggle through, and carries us through the hardest parts of life and through the joys of life. It's all about you. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you pursued us with an everlasting love, and that you are the only way is through Jesus. But that's offered freely. Any of us can come, and we can cling to him, and we remain in him And Father, you're working out for our best. We praise you. Help us to meditate on that as we celebrate tomorrow and as we celebrate each day the truths of Christmas and the truths of your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.